Welcome back in, everyone, to the Fantasy Football Fools podcast. My name's Jesse. This is LSAO and Brandon. What's up, guys?
Is this thing on? Check, check. Are we recording? Are we live?
We're live.
We'll do it live. Just watched the Monday night game.
It was almost the best game I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, it's like doing hot yoga in here. I was sweating so much.
It had a lot of fantasy implications for us.
With very, very little action.
But yeah, the game was horrendous by itself. We'll talk about it. We'll talk about Dobbs and his four interceptions tonight coming up. But we are the Fantasy Football Fools podcast. Check us out at thefantasyfootballfools.com and make sure to tweet at us over at X Fantasy Fools Pod is our handle there. Let's get into some news and injuries.
Oh, son of a... That's going to leave a mark.
We should probably, like, send a letter to Ohio State saying that we are the... and therefore like a cease and desist.
We're the.
They could say the, but yeah. they need to stop saying the Ohio State when their intros, you know?
Trademarked. Dorian Thompson Robinson, the backup, got concussed. So it was PJ Walker?
It was PJ Walker. DTR concussion, like we said, you know, all year long. Concussions usually, probably 80, 90% of the time, the guys are missing at least 1 week. They do have PJ Walker there. They also have Joe Flacco there, and there's a rumor that he may be the starter this week. If you're going to go wacko for Flacco, this week might be it.
Do you see Cleveland getting better, staying the same, getting worse? I don't know. It's just stay away.
Yeah, I think they're still so reliant on their defense is kind of what makes that team go. But fantasy-wise, I don't think there's anybody on that team that you really want to play. There is maybe one guy, and I think we're going to actually talk about him shortly. So,
Chris Olave, New Orleans, concussed as well.
You know, what's funny is he never really gets a lot of action from Carr, and then he does, and then he gets hurt.
Yeah, this is definitely by far, I think, the most action he's got. Also, you know, Michael Thomas is out as well, so that kind of played into him getting some more work. He looked really good. I'm going to just jump into the next guy as well, Rashid Shaheed.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, injured, too. Yeah.
So their wide receiver core is absolutely depleted. So not a lot of, you know, things that you want in the Saints passing game at this moment. I would look for Olave to probably miss this week. Again, it's only Monday. We'll know more later in the week. And then Shaheed, I think it was a quad strain or a thigh or something like that, and could be a week or two for him as well. So, New Orleans passing game, maybe it's Juwan Johnson. Yeah,
that's what I was thinking, Juwan Johnson. Who are they playing?
Away, I think for me. New Orleans this week has...
And I mean...
Detroit. Detroit this week.
That's not going
to
be
the game they're going to need to score points. And doesn't
yeah,
that's maybe it's Kamara with like 15 catches or something.
Yeah.
This week,
Detroit actually gives up points to the passing game, I think, right?
They do, but if you don't have any wide receivers to throw to.
Also, I know, like you said, like Kamara's going to get a lot of action, but Jamal Williams might as well. Because like that's a lot for just Kamara to just play the whole game like that. It's going to be way too much. So I think Jamal, this might be, if you have him and you need a running back because of the buys or whatever, this might be the week to play him. It's not going to be the greatest output, but he's definitely get some looks.
Yeah, I could also see it being a heavy like Taysom Hill week where they just run some him at quarterback and doing some more of that.
They're going to need to pull out all the tricks basically. Yep.
Over or under 1.5 interceptions for Derek Carr.
1.5?
I'm going to say under.
Under.
I'm not sure they're going to... it's tough. I would say
it's going to be a lot of check downs. There's going to be a lot of check downs.
Amari Cooper, also Cleveland ribs. He did not return. I guess they did some tests and it looks okay. So no, you know, real bad damage, but we don't know if he's going to play or not. I didn't see really any more injuries than that. It was a kind of a light week, which is good.
We've had so many so far that there wasn't much room. But the only other one I want to touch on, and again, this might be something for next week's pod, but it looks like Justin Jefferson will be back after the bye week. So definitely he was, you know, questionable the last couple of weeks. They're giving him the extra week with the bye coming here. So definitely a monster coming back, you know, down the fantasy stretch for you in your playoff run.
Awesome!
Fantasy Top Players of the Week, quarterback Joshua Allen, 43 fantasy points, 339 yards passing, two touchdowns, another 81 on the ground, and two more touchdowns. He showed up, showed out.
And yeah. Still lost.
Still lost.
0-5 in his career in overtime.
Oof, I did not know that. That is yikes.
Also, they were ahead most of the game, right?
Yeah, they're winning the whole game, and then Josh Elliott had the 59-yard field goal to tie it late in the rain too. That was a really impressive kick, but he also had the overtime pass to Gabe Davis where they just missed. That should have been a touchdown. That's the game. We're probably talking about this in a different light. Buffalo, we've talked about them before too. Really tough schedule coming up. They're definitely on the outside looking in as far as the playoffs go, but obviously, you know, Allen did everything he could in this matchup and still having an outstanding fantasy season.
And then I'm going to jump to number three. The number three quarterback on the week playing on the other side, Jalen Hurts, 38 fantasy points, 200 passing yards, three touchdowns, 65 rushing yards, two more touchdowns, five total touchdowns, and he did win that game. Of course, you have those guys. You want those guys. And then Dak Prescott, right in the middle of those two, number two of the week. This is his second 40-plus point performance in the past 3 weeks. He had, what was it? Let me get to it here. 331 yards, four touchdowns. So it's pretty good.
Yeah, he's been awesome this year. He's the number three quarterback right now in fantasy, a guy that we talked a lot of crap on coming into the year with Dak. This guy to my left, probably more so than anybody else. But
I just want to point out what teams he's beaten, though. Like, or pay attention to what teams he's beaten, what teams he's lost against.
Sure, but I mean, that's the only thing you can do on the schedule. You know, you got to beat those teams in front of you. But if we're going to pull that, we could say, well, look at the team that Philadelphia lost to, the Zach Wilson-led New York Jets. So
yeah, but they have one loss.
Sure.
I mean, I bring up this, though. Like, look at Josh Allen just scored 43 points on Philly, and Dak plays Philly in 2 weeks. I'm worried. Like, Dak, CD, Stack, if you got it, like, that's going to be a league winner, I think, over this
next couple
weeks.
That could be. But I feel like Dak is not going to put up 41 points against Philly like Josh Allen did.
Well, I mean, 41 is pretty epic, so probably not. But I mean, if you put up 30, that's a great.
I don't think he'll put up 30.
He did a few weeks ago when they played 374 yards, three touchdowns,
29 points
in week nine.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, he's been good. I guess the question would be like, would you rather have like rest of the season Dak Prescott or CJ Stroud?
I'd rather have Dak.
No thanks.
I think so too, and I think we might be setting ourselves up for like big disappointment later. But
you get just like the Cowboy fans. That's what you're
again,
doing to yourselves.
I think I'd rather have Dak. I think so. I think that just shows where we were at the beginning of the season, where we're at now. I think he's in that upper echelon of guys that you're comfortable starting week in and week out right now.
Number four, Matthew Stafford. Number five, Jordan Love. He played Detroit. There you go. They do give up points through the air. He had 268 and three. All right, let's move on to some running backs, or let's go to wide receivers. Wide receivers of the week, Mike Evans back on top, 19 fantasy points, 70 yards, two touchdowns. He's been great all year, really. Just kind of a silent, he's kind of in the background, but he's always there, if that makes sense.
Number six overall receiver on the season is Mike Evans. But again, I think we talked about, you said 19 points for Mike Evans. That's kind of a quiet week, I think, for receivers. For that to be the top, again, only 70 yards, did score the two touchdowns, but kind of a quiet week for outstanding wide receiver play. But again, Evans has been, plug him in every single week.
Yeah, he's been deadly, silent but deadly, you know, just sneaking out of there and, you know, doing his thing and smelling up the place. Or not smelling up the place.
I'm actually looking at his week by week. He scored a touchdown every single week except for three. So three out of the, you know, whatever 11 games they've played, pretty solid.
That's, yeah, you want a receiver who does that. Yeah, it was a lower week for wide receivers because the number two wide receiver is shared by 6 different receivers at 17 fantasy points. Of course, we don't do fractionated points in our league. We do point by point. So you have Tyreek Hill, Devontae Smith, Rashee Rice, Zay Flowers, Gabe Davis, and Nico Collins. Do they all belong there?
I mean, Tyreek Hill is obviously the standout of that group, but yeah, they're all solid this week. Devontae Smith has had a bounce back, which we talked about. Once Dallas Goedert has left, he's kind of been the target monster there. AJ Brown been very quiet the last few weeks. Rashee Rice, I think, is interesting.
He's the only guy that can catch on that team.
Yeah, he had a drop this week too, but he's probably their best wide receiver. So I think you might start to see Kansas City just really stop throwing the ball to those other guys, start throwing it to Rice, throw it to Kelsey, use Pacheco a little bit more, just get their playmakers the ball. So he's a guy I'd keep an eye on over the next few weeks. Zay Flowers, again, he's a guy we've kind of liked all year as well. His stats a little inflated by the, I don't know, 40 or 50 yard touchdown run he had at the end of the game there. That added, you know, obviously the majority of his points. And then Gabe Davis, he's been kind of hit or miss all year. He has, you know, some games like this where he scores 17 and he has a lot of like zeros and things like that. So like the true definition of a boom or bust receiver.
Do you think, like the Kansas City game, the Raiders were in it for a little while there. Do you think that's more Kansas City isn't as good this year, or the Raiders are actually a better team without the coach?
The Raider defense has picked it up over the last few weeks, so they've been doing a lot better. And I feel like they had like given up on, you know, on the other coach, on McDaniels. They were out, and yeah, they go out and play, but they knew what was going on, you know, and new energy. So they're like going out there and balling out, and they're not as good as everybody else. So their balling out is only a certain level, right? So they're not going to win every game, and definitely not going to beat the Chiefs. But they hung around with Miami. They hung around with the Chiefs. So it's definitely an improvement.
Yeah, I think it's a combination of both those things that you mentioned. I think Kansas City isn't as good as we thought, or isn't as good as they have been in the past, I think. And a lot of that, it has to do with the receivers. There's just not a second playmaker there besides Travis Kelce that is really stepping up and making things happen. You still trust Mahomes, and you still think, you know, he's going to be the guy come the playoffs. But Kansas City, much less dominant than they have been in the past. And the Raiders, on the flip side, just have played much better under Antonio Pierce as opposed to McDaniel. So I think they're just much more solid. They're playing better defense. They're running the ball a lot better with Josh Jacobs. They're making sure to establish that run, kind of keeping them close in the game. So I think it is a combination of both. The Raiders are better than what they were under Josh McDaniels, and the Chiefs, on the other hand, just not as dominant as we've seen in the past few years.
I think maybe before next year, we'll be talking a little bit about a shift. I'm not saying a big shift or anything, but Denver is looking a lot better. The Raiders are playing better. Kansas City, Buffalo, not as much. So we'll see what happens in the offseason. We'll see what happens at the end of the season.
That big of a shift happening.
And exactly. That's what I mean. It's not a huge shift, but I mean, it's the beginning of maybe a shift in the NFL.
I think you're right. Buffalo down, Cincinnati's down, right? Kansas City not as good. We've seen some teams kind of take that leap. Houston, Denver, a few.
Running backs of the week, Kyren Williams. He's back, baby. 33 fantasy points, 143 yards rushing, zero touchdowns on the ground, but 61 yards receiving and two touchdowns through the air. If you stashed him, you're feeling pretty good right now, aren't you?
Yeah, I mean, we knew he was good at the beginning of the year, and unfortunately he was hurt. But if you were able to hang on to him, or if you were able to trade for him while he was out, now he's going to pay off big time.
What do you think about them putting Henderson on the practice squad after he came up and filled the role for them while he was gone?
Nothing. He did his job. He went back. And yeah, it's like if he stayed on the roster, he wasn't going to get any work. So they're not going to leave him on the roster, but they have him there just in case. That's, you know.
And I think it's also like a weird NFL technicality thing that they had to do that first to clear up a roster spot to get Kyren back up. So I think they kind of go through the motion. I would expect him to be the backup. We've seen Royce Freeman, who's been really good, but the third back, Zach Evans, I could see Henderson taking his place. So they have three kind of competent backs. But again, I think this is Kyren Williams' backfield, and he'll be the guy you want moving forward. Just with the crazy volume that he got in his first game back shows you he's the guy.
Christian McCaffrey, of course, up there, 26 points, 114 and 2, 25 through the air. Oh, my goodness. Here's number three. You ready for this?
Let's do it.
Bijan Robinson, 24 fantasy points, 91 yards and a touchdown, 32 yards through the air and another touchdown. What's going on over there with Mr. Arthur?
It's weird. You know, you start getting your best players the ball and good things happen. They're now tied for first in the division after beating the Saints. No, but Bijan, I don't know if you guys watched that game, but he's just different. He has a different gear. His touchdown run, he kind of exploded through the hole. The touchdown catch was outstanding. A linebacker couldn't keep pace with him. He's just so much better. So I would look for a big second half of the season from him. We talk about it all the time, right? Rookies always have this special thing in the second half when they get more comfortable. But he's a nice schedule coming up too. Jets, Bucks, Carolina, Indy, and Chicago in the playoffs. So Bijan could be a league winner for those of you that have him and have just been, you know, trying to get into the playoffs. He could be a monster in the last few weeks.
Yeah, those playoff matches do look juicy. You better hope you get in, right?
That's
you
got the hope, yeah.
Jonathan Taylor, Raheem Mostert, Isaiah Pacheco, and my boy Derrick Henry on the board. Round out the running backs.
So I was watching the Titans game, and there was a play where I don't know if there were, I don't know, 10, 15 yard line. I don't know. It was somewhere close. And maybe inside the five. I don't remember exactly. But it was a handoff to Derrick Henry. He runs up the middle. And just from, I mean, at least the camera angle, he could have like made a cut to the right, and it seemed like it was clear for him. But he did this weird thing where he went forward. He hit one of his own guys and did like a spin to try and spin around him. But I think he like stumbled. And I don't know if that's what caused him to spin or if he was trying to spin and then he stumbled. But then the defender that was there was like able to grab him and he went down. He almost took himself out. And I was just like, man, is this because the year hasn't been great for the team in general and definitely not for him as far as what we're used to. And so I was like, man, this looks like it's the beginning of the end, you know, like this could be like this was a huge jump down from last year. And now after I saw that play, I was like, oh, my God, even he's not playing the way he used to just on his own. And then he goes on and scores two touchdowns after that. So he shut me up. But I was just thinking like, oh, like I feel like before he would have made that move. And it looked like, and I'm sure it's different, but to me it looked like he didn't even try. It was like, oh, I'm just going to go forward and hit this guy and whatever. So it was just weird to watch that.
Yeah. If you had to guess, where do you think Derrick Henry is in like running backs this season? Like where does he rank in fantasy points?
He's in the top 20.
Like, I was going to say like between 20 and 25.
Running back 7.
Yeah.
So as bad as he's been all year, right? Like this is a down year for him. No doubt about it. Still on the number 7 running back overall.
Yeah, so, I did not. I was
that more of an indictment on the running back position? Maybe, right? Because ahead of him is Gus Edwards. So I'm like, ugh. And then it's Jacobs, Bijan, Etienne, Mostert, and McCaffrey. But yeah, you would never guess he's a top, you know, 7 running
back. What did he score this week? Like, where was he before this week? He wasn't top 10 before this week.
Probably. Well, no,
I mean, look, this is his season.
19 this week.
These are his points this season, okay? 11, 15, 2, 26, 5, 16, 13, 15, 2, 3, 19. So it's like he's pretty consistent. The 2 and the 3 were the 31st ranked defense, the 24th ranked defense.
But
so,
I see why now he's top 7 because he's consistent, but he's like in the mid-teens, like 14, 15 average.
Yeah, but before, like 200-yard, 4 touchdowns.
Yeah, before it was like 80-yard 20 points and up every game. Right, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, and so I think, you know, this may be the new Derrick Henry for the next couple of years until he actually falls off. Or maybe this is it for him. I don't know when his contract's up.
Yeah, I was going to say, maybe if he gets moved, it'll go back to, you know.
Yeah. I think he's not as explosive as he was, right? He's just a lot of carries. Doesn't really do much in the receiving game like he used to do a lot more.
So but if he were to get traded and, like, to somebody that sees a lot more goal line work, then he would go back to 2-3 touchdowns a game just based on the team.
Or just anybody who's not Tennessee, because Tennessee is not very good.
Yeah, that's I think exactly.
Well, not anybody.
Not anybody. Yeah. That's
right. Like if he was David Montgomery in Detroit or something, right, he might score 15 touchdowns. Right?
Yeah.
Yes. Which, yeah. I was gonna actually do a stat about that this week, but I didn't. So we'll save it for next week. But basically it's what would you be okay having Jahmyr Gibbs and Montgomery as your two running backs if you played them both every week? And it was like looking back at it, it's a resounding yes. Like, I mean, you score 20 to 30 fantasy points every week off of those two. So it was kind of interesting.
I think I did that one time years ago with receivers, though. I think I had Brandon Marshall when he was on the Jets, I think. and like Eric Decker or something. Yeah. But it was two guys, and it was like with Fitzmagic. And that's the year he was like gunslinging all year, you know? So I was playing both of them, and I kept trying to trade Decker because I didn't like having both of them. But I kept playing him, and they kept scoring.
Tight ends of the week, Tyler Higbee. You didn't see that one coming. 14 fantasy points, 29 and 2 touchdowns. I picked him up. I'm so excited. I get to play him
next week. Back to nothing.
Get to play him next week. Pat Freiermuth, picked him up. 13 fantasy points, 120 yards, 0 touchdowns.
Did you play him?
I did not.
Did you play, who did you play?
I played Hockenson.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
We watched Hockenson. So you losing streak.
So you picked up two tight ends that did really well.
No. I just picked up Pat Freiermuth. I didn't pick up Higbee. I just picked up Freiermuth.
Oh, gotcha.
That's what I was saying it before I said his name. No, because Hockenson's on bye next week, so I preemptively picked him up. But
Just to touch on Freiermuth too. So Pittsburgh, they fired their coordinator last week, Matt Canada. And so this is just a crazy stat too. I forget if he's been the coordinator for a year and a half or 2.5 years, but this week was the first time the offense has scored or had 400 yards or more. The last time he did it was the previous game before he got hired. So the bookend games on his, his stint as offensive coordinator never went over 400 yards. The game before, the game after, they immediately go for 400 yards. So again, it goes back to my rant of like just getting your best players the ball and like being competent as a coach. So I think we'll see the Pittsburgh offense continue to improve. Kenny Pickett looked a lot better this week. They did play Cincinnati, so that was a big win for them there. But yeah, they kind of looked better. You saw Najee Harris, Jalen Warren both get involved. Deontay Johnson had a few catches, George Pickens. So I'm curious to see what the offense looks like moving forward without Matt Canada.
I think we were talking about it before the podcast here, is that I was really bullish on Pickens earlier this season. I mean, before the season started.
It's probably why you're 3-8 or whatever you are.
Well, the thing is,
four and eight.
Now I won this week. Now you're gonna hopefully see what Pickens can do. I mean, it's kind of a point. If you don't have a good offense and don't give your people the ball, it's nothing's gonna happen. Moving along, Sam Laporta, 12 fantasy points, 47-1, and then T.J. Hockenson. He got it done for me. I needed 7 points coming into tonight, and he had 1 point for like four.
Like the whole game.
Like, yeah, 3.5 quarters. and then he scored a touchdown, so he won me the week. Thank you, TJ. Moving on to kickers. Everybody loves kickers, right? 19 fantasy points. Blake Groupie. I don't know if that's how you say it. Blake Groupie. Got you 19 points. Hopefully he did something for your team. Nobody has him in our league. Miami was the number one defense. They played the Jets. 22 fantasy points, 7 sacks, 2 interceptions, a touchdown, a fourth down stop.
It is. Go ahead.
I was gonna say, did you see their touchdown? It was on a Hail Mary attempt at halftime. Did you guys see this?
Oh, yeah, I did.
So the Jets like get the ball back, and their offense is so bad. And they throw a Hail Mary.
The run back, yeah.
And the guy runs it back 100 yards for a touchdown. It was just classic, like, Jets this year. It was great.
I think it was, I don't know if it was going into halftime or coming back from halftime, but they interviewed the coach. I forget his name. New York coach.
Robert Saleh.
The look on his face, man. It's got to be it's just painful to just have to wake up to that every day and just go to work and deal with that every day. And then every weekend you're dealing with, the results of it's just got to be so, like, infuriating and just.
It's hard to watch. Tonight was hard to watch? Try watching the Jets. Yeah. Awful.
So I can't even imagine, like, just being him and being like, there's nothing I can do. Like, our quarterbacks are awful and, like, the O-line is awful and it's just terrible. So that sucks. But hey, he's getting paid enough that I shouldn't feel bad for him. So it's okay.
Do you guys think Aaron Rodgers is coming back?
No. I was looking at their schedule and I was like, there are two instances in which he could come back this week. I forgot what teams it is they're playing, but one of them is either this coming week or the week after where they have like an easy team. And I was thinking if he comes back, it might be there, but then
they play Atlanta and then this week, then Houston, then at Miami, Washington on Christmas Eve, and the Browns and Patriots to finish out the season.
So I was thinking that he might come back to play Washington. Because I'm like, that's an easy game.
That's been the talk.
And he's going to come back just to be like, oh, look what I can do. But it's going to be against Washington. But then he has to play, who was that next team?
Cleveland.
Cleveland.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, okay. And then finish off, like the end of the season, I was like, he could come in just to be like, oh, look at me. Look what I can do. Like, too bad I wasn't here all year. But so he could do that. But then he's like, well, what if I come in and we still suck? So he's like, I don't know. I don't know if he might want to just wait. You know,
I don't think it's going to happen. I mean, they're not going to make the playoffs. They're 4-7. There's two teams ahead of them in their division. It's if they would have went to the playoffs, I can see maybe, yeah, him coming back. But it's not going to happen. He's going to be there next year. He's going to be their starting quarterback, and that's going to be that. They're not going to put him in and say, oh, yeah, play and bust up your knee again.
I was gonna say maybe it's just like an ego thing. Like, let me just get in there and like show them what this team could really be, kind of thing.
And
you know?
Then four snaps later.
Wow, that's yeah. Yeah,
it's strange. Again, I was kind of in agreement. If they were gonna make the playoffs, I think we would have saw them for sure. This is like unprecedented to come back this quickly from an Achilles injury, but he's a guy that likes to be in the spotlight. He likes people talking about him, and people have certainly been talking about him. So I'm very curious to see what that looks like. And I'm as a New York Jets skill player owner on my fantasy team, I would love to see him back. It can't be any worse at this point.
I'm going to go do some ayahuasca and figure out what they tell me, if he's going to come back or not, what the higher beings tell me. All right, moving on.
You blew it!
Fantasy face plants of the week. Joshua Dobbs tonight, Monday Night Football. He's been doing so great. Initially, when I put him on here, it was like the beginning of the fourth quarter, and he had -7 points. But he scored a touchdown to my boy TJ Hockenson, so he finished with 3 fantasy points. 163 yards and a touchdown, 4 interceptions, 3 sacks. I just want to read you something. When I was looking up his stats and kind of, you know, when the game was going on, I was trying to see what I could find on him. And this is what it says when you go to Yahoo right here. Joshua Dobbs has posted a 4-1 TD interception ratio with 3 rushing touchdowns in 3 games since joining the Vikings. Okay. Not anymore.
Houston, we have a problem.
I was going to say the Pasternak came crashing down, back down to earth.
That 4-1 ratio just got destroyed because it was a 4-1 the other way tonight. So Joshua Dobbs did not get it done for you. Still, overall, a good quarterback. Needs some growing, I think. Tua Tagovailoa, 7 fantasy points, 21 for 30, 243 and 1. Did they play the Jets?
Jets on Black Friday. Yeah.
So that makes sense. 2 interceptions and a fumble. Jets are a tough defense there. And then Brock Purdy's been doing really well, but not so much this week. 11 fantasy points, 21 for 30, 209 and 1, and an interception. So when you don't score those touchdowns, you don't really get the points. He doesn't throw it that much. Wide receiver Cooper Kupp got you. Nobody even thought he was going to play. I didn't think he was going to play, but he played. And he got 1 fantasy point, 3 receptions for 18 yards. But that means Puka did well, right? No. 2 fantasy points, 4 receptions, 27 yards. Rough week for the Rams and wide receivers.
What do you do with Cooper Kupp if you have him? His last 5 games, 4-2-4-1-1 fantasy points. 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 total.
Didn't he, well, not all of them, I guess. But I was like, didn't he leave early on a couple of those games?
I don't think so. Maybe, but yeah, he's just not been. He was great his first 2 weeks back, and then he hasn't been good the last 5 weeks. So it's.
I think he's just still hurt, and he's working through it. I don't think he's going to be great. He'll have like peak games, but he's not going to get you those 30-point games. I don't think anymore. I think Puka can do that, and Tutu can do that, but they're spreading the ball around so much that's not going to happen either. So it's kind of just you know, throwing.
And now with Kyren back. I mean, he got 2 touchdowns through the air, you said, right?
So yeah, exactly.
Him and Higbee had 2 also.
Running back Gus Edwards. The Gus bus has been rolling, but came to a halt this week. 3 fantasy points, 8 carries, 26 yards, 1 catch, 11 yards.
That's what he said. He's kind of touchdown or bust, and this week was certainly a bust.
Saquon Barkley had a great week last week. Only 4 points this week, 12 for 46 and one through the air for 6 yards. And then Austin Eckler, another one who you expect to do well every week, only 4 fantasy points, 10 for 32, 5 through the air for 32, and 1 fumble.
That's another guy whose team is not helping him out. Like, he's the only guy on offense, apparently, that can do anything, and so they zone in on him.
Keenan Allen.
Yeah, but as a whole, like, they've just been terrible. Like, we've talked about the Chargers before. They're trending in the wrong direction. I don't know. They got the people. I don't know what the problem is.
I'm sure the coach will be fired very soon.
Yeah.
Joe Mixon, another big name. Saquon, Austin Eckler, and Joe Mixon, 5 fantasy points, 8 for 16, and 2 through the air for 44.
But Joe Mixon has been playing like this for 2 seasons now. He wasn't good last season, and he hasn't been good this season.
I mean, I don't know. I'd like to see where he actually is in the standings. I think he may be in the top 20 in running backs.
Oh, easily. I'm trying to pull it up right now. He's actually been, I think, better than you think. But again, I wouldn't be too fond of him now with Burrow being out for the year.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be rough sliding over there.
Depending on the matchup, I thought it was going to help him out more because it's like, oh, well, they're just going to check down or just run it a lot.
Well, but if they're behind, then they're going to have to throw it. And that's the issue.
That's what I said, depending on the matchup.
Yeah, if they're favored, I can see him having a good game. But not this
week. He's 19th right now in running backs.
There you go. So better than you would think he would be. And then George Kittle, tight end that should be getting it done, only had 1 fantasy point, 3 catches for 19 yards. There you have it. The face plants of the week. There's some big names that are face planting, so you just got to make sure that you are setting those lineups, playing those matchups. But if you got those guys, you're going to play them. That's just the way it is. You're not going to sit Austin Eckler or Saquon Barkley, right? Let's talk about week 13 coming up. We have 6 teams on bye: the Baltimore Ravens, Buffalo Bills, Chicago Bears, Las Vegas Raiders, Minnesota Vikings, and New York Giants are all taking the week off. And so who are we going to pick up on the waiver wire? Well, let's go to quarterbacks. How about this guy right here? Let's try that again.
Broncos country.
There it is.
Let's ride.
I'm waiting for the week where you don't do that.
He's trying to ride. He's just not, he's not getting the job done.
One of these weeks.
Russell Wilson, 53% rostered. Look, they have a good defense. I don't know if I trust their offense. I don't know if I'd play him, but I guess it depends on how deep your league is.
Yeah, I think that's exactly it. He's fine. Last 5 weeks, 14, 17, 18, 14, 17. So not killing you, just not going to win you the week either. I think that's what we've seen. Denver has, one, two, three, four, five in a row. And I think Sean Payton has kind of figured out what to do with that team. He's not letting Russell Wilson beat them. He's doing the things that he's good at. They're running the ball a lot. He's checking down. They're play action, throwing to Cortland Sutton. So he's trying to minimize the amount of mistakes that Russ, made last year. And they're playing winning football now. But I think he's more of a kind of a system quarterback. He's taking care of the ball. He's not making mistakes. So he's fine. If you're desperate, you need somebody. They play Houston this week, so not a great matchup, but something. Houston may score points, so they may need to throw the ball to keep pace.
What about Derek Carr? Here's the thing. He's facing the Lions, but he doesn't have any receiving options. So it should be easy through the air, but who's he going to throw to? Only 28% rostered.
Right, and we talked about that earlier, too. I think he could lose some goal line stuff to Taysom Hill. So just always frustrating when you're, driving down the field and then someone else comes in at quarterback. So probably a guy I'd avoid if I could.
You got Jordan Love, who's been doing good. Again, he played Detroit this past week, 27 fantasy points. But that's Detroit. So how good is Jordan Love? I think Jaden Reed is kind of breaking out over there. You have Christian Watson. He does have the receivers there.
Yeah, and they play Kansas City this week, Sunday night game. So that'll be a big nationally televised one. Again, they'll have to score points to keep up, but Kansas City's been a very good defense this year. So a big test for Love, but he's definitely been trending up.
Let's talk about some running backs. Chuba Hubbard, 46% rostered. Look, I mean, we're in an 8-man league, so these people aren't really going to be on our rosters, but there's some people out there that are in 12-man leagues and they're just looking for something. They have six teams on bye. This is a bye.
Yeah, he might be on somebody's roster this week for us because of all the byes.
Exactly. So
maybe.
You know, who do they play? I don't even know who they play here, but Carolina, look, they just
Tampa this week.
And they just fired their coach.
Yep.
So what's that going to look like? We're going to find out, you know. And so that could very well mean giving Chuba the ball
yeah,
more.
And
so.
He's been splitting carries with Miles Sanders. I think Chuba with 14 carries last week, Miles Sanders with 15. But Chuba's been getting the work in the passing game. He had 5 catches to go with that for 47 yards. So kind of an even split in the backfield, but Hubbard's been getting the passing down work as well.
Ty Chandler, been a kind of sneaky little fast guy over there and for the Vikings. Alexander Mattinson got a lot of the work.
Mattinson
got a lot of the work done this week. But Ty Chandler, he's just quick, man. He's explosive. You give him the ball, he could just burst one out for a touchdown at any given moment. So someone to keep an eye on. He's kind of boom or bust, but...
He's either going to be really good or he's going to be really bad.
That's probably the truth. Keaton Mitchell, Baltimore Ravens, another guy who, same kind of way, he's explosive, has those big chunk plays, only 25% rostered.
Still, that's surprising.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, you saw Gus bust, didn't do much. I think Keaton Mitchell may have had more points than him this week.
So, yeah, Keaton Mitchell actually led the backfield. He had 9 carries for 64 yards. Gus Edwards only 8 for 26. But the problem is Lamar had another 11 carries. Justice Hill had 5 carries. Zay Flowers ran a reverse for a touchdown. So,
yeah,
they ran the ball 35 times. Keaton Mitchell is a leading rusher with only 9. So he's getting 20% of the carries.
And then Zach Moss. So Zach Moss isn't going to be super valuable to you, but if Jonathan Taylor does get hurt, he's going to be the guy for sure. And we saw him earlier this season. He can be the guy. So someone to maybe stash if you have the room there. Wide receivers, Jaden Reed. We talked about him, Green Bay Packers. He's been, you know, these rookies, this is when they start to bloom and come out of their shells. And he seems like he's going to be one of those who's getting it done over there for the Green Bay Packers. Curtis Samuel, Washington Commanders, only 9% rostered. Look. Sammy, he throws the ball around. Sam Howell likes to throw the ball around. And I think he's like the top 5 quarterbacks for this season. He's in the top 5. And that's pure yardage. He just throws the ball every game. So Curtis Samuel, you could do worse. And here's one to talk about. Greg Dortch, Arizona Cardinals. He is 0.1% rostered. But look, Kyler's back, and the offense is better. You know, of course, Kyren, yeah, he's a lot of that offense, but there's going to be games where he's going to be throwing the ball, and Dortch, you know, could be a beneficiary of some of those throws.
Yeah, Dortch had 9 targets this week and 27 yards and a touchdown. So, yeah, certainly somebody to keep an eye on in that Arizona passing game with Michael Wilson out. He kind of stepped into the slot role and saw a lot of targets there this week against the Rams.
Pat Freiermuth at tight end. Great pickup. Got 13 fantasy points this week because I had him on my bench. Look, Steelers, we talked about it. They fired, who was it, their offensive
Matt
coordinator?
Canada.
Yeah. Matt Canada, about time. Did he go back to Canada?
He should.
Blame Canada. Blame Canada. No. Anyway, Pat Freiermuth, good pickup. He's going to be, I think, probably a top 5 tight end for the rest of the year. You heard it here. Get him. He's only 32% rostered. Isaiah Likely. Mark Andrews, he's on IR, right? Yeah.
Yep.
So, look, Baltimore's tough, man. It's tough for running backs. It's tough for receivers. You never know what's going to happen over there. I have Lamar, and I am worried every week. How many points is he going to get? Because it could be 40, and it could be 14, you know? So same with Isaiah Likely. He could have those. But the boom's there. You know, the boom could be there. He could get 2 touchdowns on any given week. Defenses, look towards Indianapolis Colts, the Chargers, and the Jaguars this week. All right. Where are we going from here? Weekly matchup time? Yeah. I think it is.
All right. Skip this part if we need to.
I don't think we need to. So going into this past week, Brandon, you were 19-21.
Ouch.
We missed you. We missed you last week, right?
Did you guys give me like three or four or five losses just because I wasn't here?
I don't know if you listened to the episode, but Jesse was trying to screw me out of points.
I did, yeah.
And trying to give himself more points.
Yeah, doesn't understand how the 3.5-point spread works. And yeah, no, I did. Thank you, because that got us a win.
Yeah.
Makes my record a little better.
And I want to be 100% accurate here, so thank you for that. But you were 19-21. And me and Alsea were 22-18. And then we had this week. Let's talk about this week. So we picked San Francisco at Seattle. San Francisco by 7 points. And San Francisco won 31-13. You guys both picked San Francisco. And I said, you know what? I'll pick Seattle. Why not go against you? That was the wrong pick. Lost that one.
I really like when you decide to just go against us just to do it. Those are the best. And you usually do it on like the worst. Like,
really?
Yeah.
Well, the next matchup was Pittsburgh at Cincinnati. Cincinnati by one. And you guys both picked Cincinnati. I decided to go against you. But Pittsburgh won 16-10. So that time it worked out for me. So sometimes I like doing that too. And then next was Jacksonville at Houston. Jacksonville by 1 point. Jacksonville won 24-21. Brandon and myself picked Houston. And LSO, you picked Jacksonville, the winning team. Congratulations.
I know. I'm good.
We had Cleveland at Denver. Denver by 1.5 points. And this was Denver 29, Cleveland 12. You both picked Cleveland, and I said, I'll go against you. Denver.
Jesus.
And so I won that one as well. And then Buffalo at Philadelphia, Philly by 3, and Philly won by 3. So I gave us all a loss.
Yeah, that's a
loss.
It's a tie. It's a push. So
I would take the win at this point. I need it.
Yeah, I know, but I figure, you know, we'll make it hard on us. So that means this week, me and Alessio were 2-3, and Brandon was 1-4.
Wow. All right.
It's not as bad as it could have been because we could have scored a lot more.
So Brandon, you are 20-25. Yeesh. It's a losing record right there.
Sure is.
And we are 24-21, Alessio.
Wow, 4 games back.
So I mean, we're tied. We gotta close that. You know, there's not a gap. We gotta
take care of it this week. Don't worry about it.
Separate right here. So this is how we're gonna do it. We're gonna pick the games right now. Pick along with us. You know, tweet at us. Tell us who you think has the right choice. Seattle at Dallas. Seattle is 6-5. Dallas is 8-3. Dallas is favored by 7.5 points. Over and under is 46.5.
Okay, I'm going to go first since I'm trailing here. Not going to think a lot about this. I'm going to take Dallas. They're the better team. They're going to shut down Seattle offensively. They kind of struggled last week. Dallas has been on a roll. Tough schedule moving forward for Dallas. This is a must win for them. I think they win big.
Yeah, I agree. I think Seattle's been struggling, and the Dallas defense is on point so far. So, their schedule gets harder, so they're going to have to take advantage now while they can. So they come out ready to go, and they take it.
Are they in the same division?
No.
Damn. I was kind of hoping that.
Just go with Seattle?
Yeah,
I know. I was like, just go with Seattle anyways.
Look,
you know you want to.
I mean, Seattle just lost 13-31 to San Francisco. So
bounce back game.
It's likely they're going to lose by that much.
Are they at home, Seattle?
No, they're in Dallas. I know.
You should still pick Seattle.
It's all going against them. But you know what? I mean, I told you, I like going against you guys, so I'm just going to do it. What the hell? I'm going to pick Seattle. Just Seattle, lose by 7 points. That's all I'm asking. Lose by 7 points, I'll be happy. I'll be good.
That's it.
All right, Denver at Houston. This one's interesting because Denver is 6-5. Houston's 6-5. Denver's on a hot streak. Houston doing pretty good. Houston, the over-under is 45.5 points, and Houston is favored by 3.
In Denver?
At Houston. Denver at Houston.
Okay, well, I really don't like Denver. Yeah, I'll go first. I really don't like Denver, and they've been on a hot streak. They've been doing way better. Like you guys said, I think they finally figured out their system is like just don't let Russ burn you. He's trying to cook, but he's going to end up burning everything. And I think they figured it out, and so they're doing well. And they beat some big teams. But they got to come down at some point. And Texas is also really doing well. I think this week they struggled a little bit, you know. It seemed like they were struggling a little bit, but then they did okay towards the end. But I think they can for sure handle Denver. And they're at home, so that helps them. They don't have to deal with, like, the altitude and all that. So give me Houston.
Man, this one's tough because Houston has a good offense. Denver has a great defense. I think this is going to be a good matchup. But you would think that it's going to be kind of even because Denver is going to shut down Houston. And it's going to be a battle of the defenses. But Houston doesn't have a good defense. So does that mean Denver is going to score? I think this is actually going to be a higher scoring game, and I think I would pick the over, which is crazy to say that because it doesn't make any sense at all, but I think it's going to happen, and I think Houston's going to pull it out at the end.
Yeah, you guys don't make this easy to make up games. I like Houston a lot in this game. I'll take Houston as well, make it a clean sweep. I don't think Denver can keep pace with Houston. Houston's defense better than we think. I think this is, again, a big game for playoff implications. The winner of this kind of has the inside track to the playoffs. I'll take Houston at home, bouncing back against Denver.
To the listeners out there, when we all pick the same pick, usually it doesn't work out. Just look at Philly last week. I mean, it was a tie, but still. So that means Denver.
Yeah, but look at that game. Never mind. This game's
just saying. Just saying. Also, if you're betting on the game,
if you want to change your pick, we'll allow you to.
Yeah,
do
you can change it.
No, because it's only when we all pick the same.
But you already did that, so now it's going to happen. So we'll let you change
it. So you can change yours then.
No, I'm not the one talking. Like, no.
Miami at Washington. Miami 8-3. Washington 4-8. Well, seems kind of obvious, right? 49.5 point over under. Woo! That's a high scoring affair. Miami by 9.5 points. You're up. Oh, I'm up. Look, Miami, if you haven't noticed, they talked about it. Miami has beaten bad teams this year. They haven't done necessarily as great with better teams. But Washington's 4-8. But Sam Howell can throw the ball. So this is going to be an interesting game. The 9.5 is what makes it really, really tricky because I think that there is a world where Washington can keep up with them and lose by less than 9.5.
In the multiverse.
But I think Miami just has too many good weapons. They have had a little rough time, but I think they're going to kind of correct themselves and Miami's going to take it.
Yeah, Washington has a terrible pass defense. Give me Miami big.
That's what I was going to say. I was like, I don't know why you're making it seem like this could be close because it's not. I think Miami's going to blow it out of the water easily. I think it's a blowout, Miami.
All right. Well, this is, I guess, the Seattle-Dallas game. It's really important this week so far. San Francisco at Philadelphia. This is the game everyone's talking about. 8-3, San Francisco. Philly is 10-1. 46.5 over-under, and San Francisco is favored by 1 point in Philly.
Yeah, it's interesting. These are probably the two best teams in the league right now, I would say. I was surprised to see San Francisco favored in Philly. Philly has been, I think, trailing the last four games at halftime. They've come back and won all four of those. I don't think that maintains this week. I'll take San Francisco on the road to win at Philly.
Yeah, give me San Francisco. The game that was supposed to be the game of the year last year in the playoffs ended up being one of the crappiest games because San Francisco ran out of quarterbacks. So that was awful. And they definitely are hungry for the win against Philly. And I think they're going to come out hard and just hit it like, you know, I think they're going to be ready to go. And Philly's going to be good. It's going to be a really good game, I think, hopefully. There's no reason why it wouldn't be. It's going to be like Philly-Buffalo this week, you know? It's going to be a really good game, but I think, that San Francisco D is going to take care of business against Philly.
Yeah, I agree. I think this is going to be a good game. It's not going to disappoint, but I do think these teams are going to meet each other again, and I think whoever wins this time is not going to win the next time. Man, so well, I say that, but then I don't know. This is tough. Okay,
the one team's gonna win or they're not gonna win.
Well, because I was gonna say that we want Philly. We're kind of rooting for Philly because we have friends that are Philly fans, you know. So if I say San Fran wins now, then Philly will win later.
Yes, you hold all the complete destiny in your hands.
Well, of course I do. But you guys both pick San Fran, so I have to pick Philly, right? So that's
excellent. Excellent.
And there's worse teams to have. Oh, I have to pick Philly. They're 10-1 playing at home.
Yeah, I know. I mean, what are you gonna do?
Yeah, especially if they go down early and the crowd is just out of it, you know, then it's not gonna. If San Francisco stays up, then the crowd is gonna be out of the game.
I think the pick for me is just I don't know if you guys have watched Philly the last 2 weeks, but Jalen Hurts is not healthy. He does not look right. He's still doing the tush push. He's still getting all that, but something doesn't look right with him.
And yeah.
So I think with a defense like San Fran,
they're definitely not as, like, the offense hasn't played as good as they did last year. Yeah.
Last game, Cleveland at the LA Rams. Cleveland 7-4. Rams are actually, did Cleveland just, Rams 5-6. 38.5 over and under. Oof. And the Rams are favored by 4.5 points.
I really want to take the Rams, but 4.5 seems like a 4.5 or 4?
4.5.
4.5.
That's a lot for this game. That's a lot. I keep thinking that the Browns aren't going to win, and then they keep playing good, and they, you know, like it's. But the Rams, oh, God, this is a terrible game. I'm going to go with the Rams anyways. I really don't have faith in Cleveland, and I know that they have a good defense. But if the Rams defense could just hold them up a little bit, you know, then I think they can pull it off. I think it's going to be like a field goal game, and so that's why that 4.5 was oof. But I'm just going to stick with the Rams. We'll see. This is kind of a toss-up for me because I'm not really sure.
Me? All right. Well, look, the Rams should win this game, but Cleveland is 7-4, but they're on their third string or fourth string quarterback or something. I don't know.
Well, the only reason why they keep winning is the defense is not the quarterback.
Exactly. Yeah.
So, which is what I'm saying. I don't know.
I know. And so that's, here's the thing. Like, I hope the Rams do well. I hope Puka does well because he's on my team. But I'm gonna go with Cleveland just because I think Brandon's gonna pick the Rams.
Interesting. I hate to have every same pick as LSA because I can't gain any games that week. But I do like the Rams. We saw Denver score 29 against this Cleveland defense last week. I think Stafford's better than Wilson. McVay's a better coach. I think they scheme up a few things to score some points. I think they need about 17 to win this game. I don't see Cleveland scoring more than that. Or I guess they would need, you know, 21.5 to cover that. But I just like the Rams. I feel better when they have the ball. They have much more chance of scoring than Cleveland does. So, I'll take the Rams. And I will gain 3 games on Jesse this week and 0 on LSA.
And I'm going to go 5-0.
Same.
Or 6-0. What is it? How many are we doing?
5.
5.
6-0. You get the balls to the wall. Last week, balls to the wall, LSAO, you had Rashad Bateman. You said he's going to do 150 yards and a touchdown.
Jose Arsenio Hall.
21 yards.
Yeah.
No touchdown.
My boy didn't show up.
Brandon, you had 2-2 at, well, makes sense. We talked about Cooper Kupp doing bad, Puka doing bad. He had to do good, right? You said he was going to do 6 for 120 and a touchdown. He did. 76 yards. That's respectable.
And again, I thought Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua might not play, and they actually both played, and he did better than them anyway. So I think that's a real win.
And I said Jaden Reed was going to do 147 yards and 2 touchdowns. That would be balls to the wall. He did 50 yards and 1 touchdown. Not bad. Not bad. Kind of on a streak of touchdowns here, so I like that. So let's get you guys another one today. I'll start it off, all right? Only because I said before this that someone may have the same pick as me. I don't know. I just have a feeling. So this week, I'm going to give you a receiver that is 58% rostered currently, a little bit over 50, so, but still available in a lot of leagues. He's playing Tennessee, which is gives up the 7th most points to the wide receiver position. And this week, Josh Downs is going to have 10 catches for 125 yards and 2 touchdowns.
Okay.
I like that.
All right. Who's next?
You or me? Okay. You said Josh Downs, 58% owned?
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to go for a guy who's 5% owned.
Woo.
We talked about this team firing their offensive coordinator, or firing their head coach, rather. Carolina fired their head coach, Frank Reich, today. So who knows what to expect? Well, I'm going to go with a guy who was their leading receiver last week. I think he takes another step forward this week. Wide receiver Jonathan Mingo from the Carolina Panthers. And I'm going to run him at 7 catches, 97 yards, and 1 touchdown.
Yikes. I'm going to go with somebody who's definitely rostered a lot more than both of those guys, but who people have been wishing they could just get rid of, but they can't because they don't have anybody else, you know, that kind of thing. He hasn't been doing great, but we also talked about earlier how they didn't well this week because their OC also got fired. So it's the Pittsburgh Steelers, and the guy that I had absolutely no confidence in all year, even when Jesse did, but I think he's going to do all right this week. They're playing the Arizona Cardinals, and you can definitely score on them. Even if you're a terrible, terrible team, you can score on the Arizona Cardinals. So my pick this week is George Pickens. Yeah.
Your pick is Pickens?
Yeah, which I never saw myself doing. I think he'll probably have like a handful of targets, but I think he's going to get like 2 big receptions, you know? And I think that he's not going to score a lot of touchdowns because I think Freiermuth is probably going to get a lot of action there, or the running backs. But let's say I'm going to give him 75 yards and 1 touchdown. And I feel like that's not like the biggest balls to the wall, but because of this team and who it is, I feel like that's all right, right? 75, 1.
Hey, this is better.
85% roster. Yeah, I feel like if you're going to pick him, you got to go big. But
hey. All right. That's I'll turn it up. I'll say 75 and 2. How's that? That's better?
Sure.
Yeah.
He's going to end up doing 75 and 1. 75 and 2. I'll do 2.
All right, yeah.
Because he had a really big play this week. Like, I can't remember the situation exactly, but I remember him having like a big play. And I'm like, oh, yeah, that looks like that's the stuff he's going to do a little bit more.
I like it. That offense is going to get rolling. Can I do an honorable mention here? This was my one if
Joe Flacco.
Somebody else had. So we talked about, Dak just passing that ball, being great. This guy's 56% rostered. Brandon Cooks. And he's playing the Seattle defense, which they've given up the 16th most or fewest. So it's like kind of in the middle of the pack right there. But the second guy in a lot of teams has done well. So Puka did 70-1 against them. Odell 56-1. Tyler Boyd 38-1. Josh Reynolds did 66-2. So I was going to go with like 125-2 for Brandon Cooks because I think he'll do better than. than the rest of the team on that one. So, yeah, there you go. There you have it. Balls to the wall. Another episode of the Fantasy Football Fools. Man, I love fantasy.
We're getting to the end, dude. This is a home stretch. A lot of stuff is happening in our league.
I have to win every single.
To tell the good folks, Brandon, where you're at right now and how that happened.
Oh, yeah, I am now tied for second place. We're gonna have you're in the lead. I will admit to that.
I am in the lead. We'll
be two games up on everybody. Then we have four teams tied at whatever we're gonna be 7-4, I think, or. Seven and five.
Yeah.
After 12 weeks, you'll be 9-3. And yeah, I was riding the roller coaster of Justin Fields on Monday night. I needed 4 points going into the game. He was up to like 8 or something, and then sack fumble was down to 5. And then ran the ball, got an extra, 10 yards of rushing, and then fumbled again. So then I was tied and came back and got me a win. So, yeah, definitely fighting for the last playoff spot with a 4-way tie in second place. So three of those four teams will probably advance to the playoffs. One of those teams will be eliminated and join the loser playoff pool, unless Jesse can like find the way to make it work and get back up to the top. But
well, no, I think Jesse plays me next week, so that's not going to happen.
There you go. It could end the season.
I don't think it's possible because you guys have 7 wins.
Yeah, we're up three. We're all up 3 games on you with 3 games to play. That's what I'm saying. It's probably not possible.
And the playoffs are week 16, right?
They are week, yeah, 16. 16,
17. Yeah,
so you can't catch 13, up.
13, 14, 15, I can't catch up.
Yeah, oh, you're out.
Oh, no. I can't because I'll be 4 wins after this because it hasn't updated yet. Okay, right. So, hey, you know what? You're saying there's a chance, all right? That's all I need is just a chance. A chip and a chair, right? That's it. All right, everybody.
I think Jesse was trying to hit one of his... drops and didn't work.
Yes, no, par for the course.
I know. I was like,
no, I was gonna play the, but I had to look it up, and it's too much work right now. That's why I said
they wrote me off, but I don't ride back. So
let's ride
off the rails here. All right, everybody, enjoy your fantasy week. Get some good pickups there. Thank you for listening to the Fantasy Football Fools. Remember the fantasyfootballfools.com. Call Ohio State. We're on Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it, Fantasy Fools Pod. That's all we got for you. Till next time, don't be a fool.
Stay in school. Man, I was coming over here like ready for you guys to lose. It was so great. Like, you guys were both losing at that time, like barely up. And I was like, it'd be great if they both lost. I was going to laugh a lot today. Damn.